You're listening to
English for Everyone
with me, George Ellis,
and me, Ben Standish,
here on EU Radio Nantes
101.3 FM,
playing you the best music from Europe and beyond,
live on air weekdays in the morning between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.
and in the afternoons between 3 p.m. and 5 p.m.
Hello, you're listening to English for Everyone here on EU Radio Nantes 101.3 FM. It is my absolute pleasure to say that in the studio today, I have the writer of Moondogs. Moondogs is one of the films in competition at the Festival Universiné Britannique here in Nantes. And it's my absolute pleasure to have Raymond in the studio. Raymond, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm very happy to be here.
So tell us a bit about Moondogs and the competition here in Nantes.
Well, Moondogs is a very funny road movie about two stepbrothers from Shetland trying to get to Glasgow with no money. And yeah, it's in the festival here, it's in the competition here. It had its first screening last night, which went really well. And it's on again this afternoon, so come and see it.
Absolutely. So as one of the writers of the film, you were involved, I'm sure, from the very, very beginning. How long has this process been from the very beginning when you were writing this film up until the finished product?
It was originally part of a scheme called Accelerator, run by Creative Scotland, and that was in 2012. So it was 3 years before it got shot. It got shot last year, 2015, and then it's taken a bit under a year to be edited and then to actually go out to festivals and stuff. So 3 years until the shooting date, which is actually incredibly quick in my experience. My other films, Botched, was about 10 years, and The Calcium Kid was 7 years, I think, 6 years. So this is actually very fast for me anyway.
So I wanted to talk about the film industry in general, actually. I had a fascinating chat with Bill Clark, who's the writer and director of Starfish, yesterday. But before we do get onto that, I just wondered if you could tell us a bit about your experience and your sort of training as a writer and how you got into this industry.
I'd always wanted to write. However, I've briefly fluttered with the idea of becoming a boxer, but I failed a medical, thank God, because I'm definitely a writer, not a fighter. And after that, actually, it was kind of funny. The day I failed my medical to become a boxer, I watched Miller's Crossing, the Coen Brothers film, and that reminded me that actually my strengths lay in writing, and that's what I wanted to do. And that was, God, that was about 20 years ago.
And in terms of writing, are you writing mainly for film, or do you also write for theatre as well?
I've had one play, which was at the Edinburgh Festival a few years ago. And at one point we had more people on stage than in the audience, so I kind of gave up writing for theatre. I had a novel published a couple of years ago, and the BBC kind of talked to me about doing that for TV, turn it into a TV series. But it's mostly film. Yeah, so far it's been mostly film anyway.
I just must say to our listeners from France, if you're not aware of the Edinburgh Festival, that is very, very common to have more people on stage at the Edinburgh Festival than in the audience. It's a theatre festival where you can have a completely packed out crowd and then the next day there's no one there except for a man having a drink right at the back heckling. So that's completely normal. As I was saying, we were talking to Bill Clark yesterday about the state of independent film and the industry as a whole. Where do you see the independent film industry, particularly in England, Britain, I should say, at the moment?
Well, a lot of films have been made. Which is good. The big problem is getting distribution. Britain's always got a problem, I think, unlike the rest of Europe. Because we speak English, the same way the Americans speak English, a lot of British films are pushed to follow the Hollywood paradigm. But the Hollywood paradigm only works in Hollywood because you've got huge budgets and you get big stars. If you make a genre Hollywood-type film without the budget and without the stars, you end up with terrible films. So unfortunately that I think is a problem that that a lot of British films fall into, and then they don't get distribution and then they have to start again. So I mean, in some ways it's healthy in so much as films are getting made. It's incredibly hard to get films made, and it can drive you mad, but I suppose it's better than nothing.
And in terms of those terrible films, could you tell us some of those? No, I'm joking. Tell me some of those terrible things. I was speaking to Jack Parry-Jones. We were chatting to Raymond a minute ago and saying we had an interview with Jack Parry-Jones from the film festival in Dinard when they were here. He was talking about when you were creating the film after the script had been written, but there was leeway in terms of sort of making the text speak in terms of the way the character wanted to speak. And especially as I know Jack had a Welsh accent rather than a Scottish accent. I believe.
Yes, no, though Jack plays Welsh. It's kind of a funny thing. For this film, it was actually perfectly fine. The way that the funding came together with Cathy, the producer, being Welsh, and Phil, the director, being Welsh, it meant that we could go for this Celtic funding model or idea that Cathy had, which was actually fine. In Shetland, there's so many different people coming in. I mean, I was from Glasgow, I was up there. Because of the oil industry, there's so many English, Scandinavian, all European people, so it's not an issue. I think it's slightly different when in certain films you'll see a character from Lithuania, somebody who's obviously just in purely for the funding, when it doesn't make sense at all. But for Moondogs, I don't think it was an issue. I mean, even I think in the very first scene, it's kind of, yeah, it's brought up the fact that he's Welsh, so we're not trying to pretend that he's from Shetland, but it's fine.
And in terms of your contribution during the actual filming, how much were you there with Philip John, sort of seeing how this process was unfolding and giving your ideas on top of the text?
I was there on set quite a few days. What would actually happen more than that would be I would get a phone call at 9 o'clock in the morning and Phil would say, have you got an extra bit for this scene, which we're shooting in half an hour or an hour? And then, yeah, I would be in a panic and try out like two or three different versions of a scene, and then he would shoot it. So, it was great, but that's what you want to do. In other films, it's been very much a case of as soon as it's been ready for production, I've not been involved at all. So this was brilliant to actually be involved and, to be kind of there, whether it was on the phone or actually there on set.
That's interesting. I certainly always think of writers, you know, sitting in a cafe with a coffee, very relaxed. I didn't realise that writers were also on call at 9 a.m, banging something out for a director, you know, 100 miles away or whatever. In terms of the distribution of this film, it's obviously been distributed already in the UK, did really well, opened up in Edinburgh, I believe, at the festival. I was talking to Jack, and Jack seemed to, he didn't say the exact words, but he seemed to say that, you know, the film festival in Europe and the film festivals that you're doing, like the one here and not like the one up in Dinar, was a case of trying to share this film with a European audience. How is it going trying to get distributed in Europe? Have you found...
I think it was just a few weeks ago we got a proper distributor for the UK. It had been premiered at Edinburgh. At that point, we still didn't have a distribution deal, but we do now for the UK. So that's the first major thing, hurdle that we had to cross, so that's good. In terms of the European stuff, again, that's not really my job. I'm sure Cathy would be able to tell you at what different stage we are. I know that we won an audience award and a special distributors award in a German film festival a couple of weeks ago, so I would imagine that would help with that territory. Sorry, I've not really been particularly helpful.
No.
But I'm sure that all these sort of festivals are great for it. That's what we need now to get is to get it out there. It's a low budget film. We don't have the advertising revenues that your Hollywood films have. So getting it anywhere that people can see it, and then it's word of mouth.
So I wanted to talk about that as well, the sort of funding, because exactly what Bill Clark was saying yesterday. Is there a problem? This is a bit of a deep question now for a Thursday morning, this early in the morning. Well, I feel like it's early in the morning. Anyway, is there a problem at the moment with meaningful content? Because independent film, in the same way that independent music, has really meaningful content, because it's not just trying to entertain, not just trying to get audience figures, and yet it is struggling in some respects with funding. Films like Starfish, films like Moondogs, which have real meaningful content and cinematographically are very impressive pieces, but don't necessarily appease the tastes, and it's not palatable enough for the masses. How do we try and make these meaningful films with meaningful stories more accessible, or not necessarily more accessible, but make people access it more?
Moondogs isn't that meaningful. It's the first thing I would say. You're right. It's a very deep, tricky question for a Thursday morning. I don't know. It's about finding. It's about getting an audience. I think something I've learned just the older I've got. If you're gonna make a film, can take years. Takes up so much time. Beforehand, sort out if you've actually got an audience for it. If you can't properly pinpoint your audience, then I kind of wouldn't bother, or I would go away and write it as a novel or something, because it costs so much money and involves so many people. I think there'll always be a market for good films. There'll always be a market for interest in films, because I think a lot of people... Well, I mean, I could enjoy the latest Batman film as much as anybody else, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, independent cinema. So I think there's always a market for it. Is there a problem funding? Yes, definitely. But then that's why you have to do a bit of I suppose, market research beforehand and to find your audience so that you can tell these funders that actually people will watch this, that it is going to, yeah, just do some sort of business.
And in terms of that funding kind of deficit, does that stretch down as well to, in the moment in the UK, young talent, young writers? How hard is it, or what advice could you give to young writers who really want to break into the industry in a meaningful way?
The problem with the film industry is that and making films is so expensive. The way that the industry has kind of gone now, I mean, whether or not it was always the case, but it's definitely the way it is now, and I'm kind of talking for TV as well, but it's pretty much the same. It's so much dependent on a name, as in a star, that is going to bring their own audience with them. So if I were starting out afresh again now, I wouldn't think about writing a film script to begin with. That's what I did. The first thing that we did was, we want to write film, so we're going to write a feature-length script. What I would do would be do some live stuff. If you can write a feature film, you can write a shit-hot play or a shit-hot one-man show, yeah, just to keep the cost down. Or, I mean, I've done sort of live comedy, written and directed live comedy shows. That is what I would do, because at least then you're getting the experience of working with actors, you're getting the experience of how an audience reacts to certain things, and then you would have people, ultimately, whether it's from funders, would be coming to you to see your stuff. The chances, if you're an unknown writer, you know, just sending a script off, I mean, I'm sure it does happen, that, you know, it's still conceivable it could happen, but I wouldn't want to rely on it. I think also if you're writing live stuff, you're actually doing something, you can go out and do it. You're not waiting for other people to, you know, rely totally on other people. It is up to you to make it happen, to do stuff. And the truth is, you'll always be able to get good actors. If the writing's good, you'll be able to get good actors.
Absolutely. Now, the film is on today at the Cinema 14 here in Nantes at 2 p.m. So make sure you go down and see it. I've seen it, and it's a really, really wonderful piece. I've seen it twice now, actually. It's becoming a guilty pleasure. Actually, I shouldn't say guilty pleasure, should I, really? It makes it sound like I shouldn't be.
It's not. It's porn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not. Well, I mean, there are some. Let's not get into that. Anyway, we just wanted to ask as a final question what you're doing at the moment and what your next projects are.
Currently, I'm waiting for the BBC to get back to me. They commissioned a pilot episode based on a novel I wrote a few years ago, Animal Lover. So they were supposed to get back to me a couple of weeks ago, but they're dragging their heels, as the BBC normally does. I'm working again with Kathy and Derek, the other people involved in this film. Creative Scotland have given us some development money for another film. Yeah, I've actually got another film deal as well. So this makes me sound like, you know, I'm really successful, but this is like probably this has been the best year in my career in terms of actually work. Usually I'm just looking on the internet and wasting time. So yeah.
Well, I'm sure a lot of us are looking on the internet and wasting time. So if you've got some film deals in the pipeline as well, it's always good. Listen, Raymond, thank you so much for coming in and speaking to us this morning on EU Radio Nantes. Just a reminder once more to head down to the Cinema 14 today at 2 p.m. Thank you so much, Raymond.
Thank you, man.
You're listening to English for Everyone. Tweet us and follow us on Instagram at EU Radio English. And find us on Facebook, EU Radio Nantes English.
101.3 FM.